but Jessery was on the trail of an idea and had no time for me and my petty annoyance. "They can't all be orbiting at the same altitude," he said. "Some must be higher than others. Those would have longer periods. Instead of 90 minutes, they might take 91 or 103 minutes to go around. By timing their orbits, Fra Orlo could, by making enough observations, compile sort of a census," I said. "A list of all the birds that were up there. Once he had that in hand, if there was any change, any anomaly, he'd be able to detect it. But until such time as he had completed that census, as you call it, he'd be working in the dark in more ways than one, wouldn't he?" I said. "He'd see a bird pass over the pole, but he wouldn't know which bird it was, or if there was anything unusual about it."
"So that's true. We have to follow in his footsteps," Jessery said. "Your first objective should be to compile such a census."
"That is much easier for me than it was for Orlo," I said. "Just looking at the tracks on the tablet, you can see that some are more widely spread, bigger slices of the pie, than others. Those must be the high flyers."
"Once you get used to looking at these images, you might be able to notice anomalies just by their general appearance," Jessery speculated.
Which was easy for him to say, since he wasn't the one doing it.
For the last little while, he had seemed restless and bored. Now he broke eye contact, gazed around the refectory as if seeking someone more interesting, but then turned his attention back to me.
"New topic," he announced.
"Affirmative. State name of topic," I answered. But if he knew I was making fun of him, he didn't show it.
"Fra Paflagon, the hundreder who is evoked?"
"Yes."
"Orlo's mentor?"
"Yes. The Steelyard says that his voco and the trouble Orlo got into must be connected."
"Seems reasonable," I said.
"I guess I've sort of been assuming that. Normally, we'd have no way of knowing what a hundreder was working on. Not until the next centennial apert, anyway. But before Paflagon went into the upper labyrinth, 22 years ago, he wrote some treatises that got sent out into the world at the decennial apert of 3670. 10 years later, and again just a few months ago, our library got its usual decennial deliveries. So I've been going through all that stuff looking for anything that references Paflagon's work."
"Seems really indirect," I pointed out. "We've got all of Paflagon's work right here, don't we?"
"Yeah, but that's not what I'm looking for," Jessery said. "I'm more interested in knowing who, out there, was paying attention to Paflagon. Who read his works of 3670 and thought he had an interesting mind because..."
"Because someone," I said, getting it, "someone out there in the secular world must have said, 'Paflagon's our man, yank him and bring him to us.'"
"Exactly."
"So what have you found?"
"Well, that's the thing," Jessery said. "Turns out Paflagon had two careers, in a way."
"What do you mean, like an avocation?"
"You could say his avocation was philosophy. Metatheorics. Procyons might even call it a sort of religion. On the one hand, he's a proper cosmographer, doing the same sort of stuff as Orlo. But in his spare time, he's thinking big ideas and writing it down, and people on the outside noticed."
"What kind of ideas?"
"I don't want to go there now," Jessery said.
"Well, damn it!"
He held up a hand to settle me.
"Read it yourself. That's not what I'm about. I'm about trying to reckon who picked him and why. There's lots of cosmographers, right?"
"Sure. So if he was evoked to answer cosmography questions, you have to ask, why him in particular?"
"Yeah.
But it's rare to work on the metatheorical stuff he was interested in."
"I see where you're going," I said. "The Steelyard tells us he must have been evoked for that, not the cosmography."
"Yeah," Jessery said. "Anyway, not that many people paid attention to Paflagon's metatheorics, at least judging from the stuff we got in the deliveries of 3680 and 3690. But there's one sewer at Barato, name of Akulawa, who really seems to admire him, has written 2 books about Paflagon's work.
Tenor or...
No, that's just it. She's a Unarian, 34 years straight.
So she was a teacher.
There was no other reason to spend more than a few years in a Unarian math. Latter Evanadrician, Jessery said, answering my next question before I'd asked it.
I don't know much about that order.
Well, remember when Orlo told us that Saint Evanedric worked on different stuff during the second half of his career? Actually, I think Arcibald's the one who told us that, but Jessery shrugged off my correction. The latter Evanedricians are interested in exactly that stuff.
All right, I said.
So you reckon Sir Akulawa fingered Paphlagon?
No way.
She's a philosophy teacher, a one-off.
Yeah, but at one of the big three.
That's my point, Jessery said, a little testy. A lot of important seculars did a few years at Big Three Maths when they were younger before they went out and started their careers.
You think this sewer had a fid 10 or 15 years ago, maybe, who's gone on to become a panjandrum?
Akulawa taught the fid all about how great and wise Frau Paphlagon was, and now something's happened.
Something, Jessery said, nodding confidently, that made that ex-fid say, that tears it.
We need Paphlagon here yesterday.
But what could that something be?
Jessery shrugged. That's the whole question, isn't it?
Maybe we could get a clue by investigating Paphlagon's writings.
That is obvious, Jessery said. But it's rather difficult when Arcibald's using them as a semaphore.
It took me a moment to make sense of this.
That stack of books in the window.
Jessery nodded.
Arcibald took everything Paphlagon ever wrote to Schufstalment.
I laughed.
Well then, what about Sura Akulawa?
Tullia is going through her works now, Jessery said, trying to figure out if she had any fids who amounted to anything.